This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Phil, and Chuang on a rather cloudy Thursday, 24th of February. Now, we are reflecting on events of the past in a way. 2 years ago yesterday, on February 23rd, a meeting was held at the Sheraton Hotel in Petaling Jaya between then-PKR Deputy President Dato' Sri Azmin Ali and rival political leaders. This led to the rapid collapse of the Pakatan Harapan government and the ascension of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as Malaysia's 8th Prime Minister. And while the true events behind what really transpired on that day remain kind of murky, the event will forever be known as Langkah Sheraton or the Sheraton Move.
You know, whenever I head there for lunch, I do get a shiver down my spine as I walk through the Sheraton's lobby. But if we fast forward 2 years from then, the political landscape has changed again, with a new Prime Minister and various political parties still vying for power. The next test of this will be the Johor state election, seen by many as a bellwether for things to come, especially on how GE15 might play out. But is this an accurate assessment? And how has Langkah Sheraton changed the political landscape of Malaysia?
So for some reflections on this, we have with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute of University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Bridget, good morning. Thank you as always for joining us today. Can we reflect on the events of 2 years past? What do you think Langkah Sheraton revealed about the undercurrents of Malaysian politics? And what are the main consequences of what happened?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the move itself exposed the undercurrents themselves. You know, the fact that politicians are focused on power, on themselves, that the principles and the platforms that they speak about are often put aside for political interests, and those interests centered around themselves. We saw new enemies come together in an unprecedented way for power. And I think, you know, for many people, the Sheraton move was seen as a betrayal of the electorate in GE14 and the results of 2018. And I think that those wounds still permeate for many of those who had voted in 2018 for a change. And in fact, actually, what happened was that they were the main parties that had were pushed out of power came back in. And I think it really exposed the limits of accountability of the electorate, that the fact that they're not unable to be able to have their votes being actually respected with the betrayals that took place. I also see that, you know, what we see is that it was an extension also of the problems that Pakatan Harapan was having as a coalition, and that the coalition was united against a common enemy, but it wasn't necessarily united in a common purpose.
Yeah, Bridget, I mean, you've been looking at Malaysia a long time, right? What is your sense? What is your true, what is your approximation of the events of that weekend? What happened?
Well, I think, you know, what we saw was an extension of what had been the negotiations among the different parties for many, many months. Sheraton move was not something that just happened right away. It was a planning on the different parties to come together. And particularly, UMNO played a very prominent role of bringing parties together. They played on issues of racialized politics. They wanted to come back into power, and they used and brought the different coalitions and actors together. We also see a situation within Pakatan Harapan of very serious divisions, of which there was were unable to accommodate those. And those divisions had been playing out for the entire period of the coalition, but had really deepened, and the coalition wasn't functioning from a perspective of leadership. And we see the role of different actors of trying to find a way to resolve those differences. What they ended up doing was actually, splitting. And we saw what happened in terms of creating new alliances and forming a new government.
I mean, with the fractious nature on both sides of the aisle, Langkah Sheraton Part 2 is inevitable, isn't it? What is the shape and size of that likely to take place?
It's inevitable, but I do think what we do see is that, you know, the political system, the parties are very personality centered. And when they're personality centered, as opposed to platform or principles, what happens is that they focus on those types of issues as opposed to the programs or different principles. And when you have weak parties that are driven by personality, then you have these power grabs that took place. But I think what's interesting is to see how these parties can evolve and how they can change. Right now, we don't necessarily see much of that. But I do think that there is pressure to move the political parties in different directions. And I think that all the parties were really exposed and delegitimized by the Sheraton move. And I think they're suffering from having to come together in different coalition relationships, which in turn are actually affecting their relationship with their political base.
And Bridget, let's turn our attention to the Johor State elections. We are expecting to see nomination day this Saturday. And of course, in the run-up to any elections, there have been a lot of headlines, a lot of mudslinging between different parties and political figures. What do you make of the recent stories between all these old leaders of UMNO, such as Dato' Sri Ahmad Zaid Hamidi, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, Dr. Mahathir? Do you see their arguments playing out in the public media? Do they have any bearing on UMNO's efforts to win in Johor?
You know, you asked me just a moment ago about, you know, what are the bigger consequences for Sheraton move? And I think what we do see is a kind of cataclysmic change in terms of the way politicians are viewed. They were exposed in this context. And I think this is something that is, you know, when politicians talk in Johor, people just don't believe them the same way they did before the Sheraton move. And so when we see these things on the ground, it's a very different relationship with the politicians because of the way that the system is operating and the way that the feudal power is being viewed, is transformed. Now, in terms of what's happening, I think, there is the question really is whether or not the politicians are able to connect on the ground with the electorate. And right now, it's very early stages in the campaign where we're waiting to see what happens in terms of the different contests, in terms of how they're played out in different particular seats. My sense is that there is a lot of suspicion among the different about the different relationships with different actors. And I think this is something that all the politicians are having to deal with.
So, Bridget, do you think Johor moves out of lockstep with history and, you know, perhaps gives more traction to its newcomers like, you know, Muda or Pejuang or even Warisan and Parti Bangsa Malaysia, who are making their debut in this election?
Well, I think, you know, what UMNO wants is that they want to move back to to the old system where you don't have these type of fluid politics and coalition systems. They want the kind of old pattern of coalition systems where things were set beforehand. I think that on the ground, however, the electorate is looking for different things. And this is where new entrants do have traction. The question for Muda is what happens in terms of the different seat configurations and whether or not they're able to have three-corner or four-corner fights as opposed to ones that will be much more diluting their chances of winning. All of the parties face high obstacles of being able to reach, especially new entrants, to be able to gain ground against UMNO. So I think right now the electorate is looking at for new possibilities. They're looking towards change, especially the younger voters. But I think that there are those vested interests of wanting to return to the past. And I think this is where we do see this kind of the whole issue of what happened during Sheraton move and the instability that it caused for the political process is a focal point of the Johor campaign.
I guess it's an extent of the shift that might or will take place. So which seats are you watching very closely?
Well, there are 56 seats here in Johor. And I think, what we see is that a third of them are very competitive, especially in the more urban and semi-urban areas. I'm currently in Muar, and I think Muar is a very good place to start, not only for its excellent food, but also for the intensive competition. This is a place where Muda is trying to make its gains, and I think it's interesting to see how this is playing out among the younger electorate.
Bridget, thank you as always for your time and your insights. We look forward to more conversations as these elections unfold. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at Malaysia's Asia Research Institute at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, talking to us about the legacy of Sheraton move as well as the consequences that we're seeing play out as a result, most recently in the Johor State elections.
Yeah, I think this is where whether you will see UMNO basically fortify its presence or whether the emergence of all these new parties are going to make a dent. And Dr. Welsh, I think, made a very pressing point that people are quite tired on the ground. But how much is that going to be used or energized to drive the shift and change is the big question mark. I wonder if voter turnout then is going to be the core deciding factor in whether or not UMNO will basically maintain its stranglehold.
Yeah, voter turnout, one thing. And then, of course, grassroots issues, you know, cost of living issues, inflation, yeah, and jobs, livelihoods, you know. And unfortunately, people are people, right? And people are simplistic in nature. There will be lowest common denominators. And that's the one thing that has been Malaysia's bugbear for the last 60 years. Policy falls short by the wayside when, you know, grassroots issues are raised. And that's the unfortunate point.
Well, I think policy that actually makes a difference for the better is a big challenge, right? I mean, the fact that people are still contending with basic issues is a reflection that we haven't put in place the right policies.
Okay? Well, that's the thing.
So that's, I think, key to understand that we actually need to get the right policy so that people on the ground can then move forward, isn't it?
Yeah, policy was the linchpin on which Pakatan came into power 2 years ago, but then the divisions within the coalition, even then, was what rented us under.
And this is the issue, because we are talking a lot about personality rather than platform.
Correct.
Indeed. You know, we're going to be talking about Johor and the elections that will come in the many days and weeks ahead. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.